And I'm pumped that you're with me this morning and with us this morning and in this place today and just coming off of last week. And you've invited so many people last week. I mean, what an amazing Easter Sunday Believers Chapel had. And just talking to other churches, and they had an amazing Easter, and just what God is doing in this region and what God is doing in this whole community of people, that I just believe there's a hunger around this region. And man, we got to be ready, church. We've got to be ready to feed people the truth of God's word, the gospel, the good news, and to see how God will just move in by his spirit and take over an area and a region with grace and with goodness, with mercy, and just watch what God is going to do. It's so good. It's so good, man. We have been so blessed. But last week, man, that was most people we've ever seen here in this church, the most children we've ever seen here in this church. And just even today, a great story after last week, a mom was telling me that they were driving by the church on Monday, and the kids were like, come on, the castle, let's go to church. It's Monday. And mom's like, no, we go to church on Sunday. But they're like, it's Monday, let's go to church. We want to go to church. But we love that. We want kids to love church. We want families in this place. That's why we invest so much. And that's why you give so generously, because we want families, man. We want children from birth all the way to retirement, all the way to home, is to love church and to understand what it means to love church again, to be a part of a community, be a part of a family that gets it and wants so much so to have your kids love what's happening in the house of God. And when they grow up and they mature, and then the first thing they do is to find that local church, because that is their fiber, man. That is what they've lived in. And man, I tell you what, God is doing something so amazing here. Thank you for last week. Thank you for just the work parties that have been taking place. It's just been amazing. It's so good. It's so good. Next week is our first year anniversary of being in this building. Very exciting. Come on, amen. Nice. We're going to do something special next week. We're going to have just a celebration after both services. We're going to have cookies and just a thank you to you being a part of this community and this family and just seeing what God has done. Renee and I have something special planned for next week for the service. And don't miss this. Invite somebody. It's going to be special. We're going to have a great, great service next week as we just remember and give thanks for what God is doing here. And just know this, church. Know this. You don't have church if you don't have people. Church literally means the assembly of the believers. If you have no assembly of believers, you have no church. Yes, I know that we're the body and the church is the body as a whole. Absolutely. But when you break down the Greek word of church, it means the assembly, the gathering of the believers. That's what church is. That's what local church is. That is what we do. Without people, you've got no church. And we have people, and God has blessed us. And we just, next week's going to be a special service about just giving thanks and what God has done over the last 9 years, including the last year, and just the people that God has put in a place of serving here, in a place of staff here. And it's going to be such a great message. You're going to leave this place built up next week in that sense of thanksgiving. But we want to just really minister this morning and go on a journey from Scripture of looking at what it means to be in a new season. And I just think there's times that we go in and we go day to day and we go month to month, and then it turns into year to year, and it's just, there's nothing really fresh that really happens. There's nothing really new that happens. Sometimes we get depressed and we go deeper in depression. Sometimes we go into chaos and we go deeper into chaos. Sometimes we go into, we can just go on and on and on. But what happens, church? What happens if we really believe, coming off of the ascension of Jesus Christ, knowing that he's gone into heaven and sit at the right hand of the Father, sent his spirit to dwell and remain within you and I, what's it look like to believe that I can be in a new season? I can enter into a new season where once there was depression, but now there's joy, because in the presence of the Lord, there is joy. Once there's chaos, but now there's rest. Now there's peace. Once I was on this cracked, broken foundation, it was just like kind of walking on sand and nothing was stable in my life. But what happens if God puts my feet on the rock and I stand on this foundation? What happens, church, if you honestly can come to a place this morning to believe, man, I can enter into a new season. Man, I need a fresh season. I need a fresh song. I need a fresh praise. What happens when you come to a place to believe that, man, I can go into a new season? Walking in the fullness of the Holy Spirit, man, I can walk into a new season. I don't have to carry this into tomorrow. I don't have to carry this into next week. This isn't like a New Year's resolution message. This is a message after the ascension of Jesus Christ with the disciples. Watch this now. The disciples who just literally a month before this, were fearful, were cowards, were afraid, were full of betrayal, were full of abandonment. When Jesus ascended, guess what happened? They got filled with the Holy Spirit. There was a boldness. There was a confidence. They were courageous. They were fearless. There was a change that took place in them because they were in a new season. So what happens when you and I understand, what does it look like after the ascension? Just going over Easter and just listening to that and going over through it. And I like to listen to my messages to correct all of my stupid and just think, man, you could have said that better. And that's, I'm hard on myself and that's, I want to get better. I want to be better at 70. I want to be the best communicator when I'm 70. But I'm looking and saying, okay, God, where do you go from Easter? And we're starting a new series in 2 weeks on prayer. And then we'll probably get into our marriage series we do once a year. And just, there's so much that's ahead and we're rolling. But it's like, okay, that week after, like Easter is like, oh, woo! And of course you go to the Word and you're like, okay, well, what happened after the ascension? And really going through Acts 1 and looking, and I fell on Psalms 40. And I think, you know what? It was a new season. It was a new season for the disciples. And I just, even having the heartbeat of Believer's Chapel, man, I think many of us could use a new season. God, I could use a fresh song. God, I could go in. I need a new season. And I believe this is for us this morning. And let's just pray and ask God to move in this place. Lord, we love you so much. We thank you. God, you're so good to us. Man, speak to us in this moment, please. We may hear from you today. We may hear from you today. God, open our eyes to see. Open our ears to hear and our heart to just soak it in, God, in our spirits. And we would respond to you. Holy Spirit, move in this place. Thank you for your filling. Thank you that you dwell and remain within us. It's beautiful. I ask for just a mindset as we walk out of this place to be built up, to be encouraged. Say, God, I could use a new season. I could use a new season. Folks, I ask that you would ask God, God, speak to me, please. In this moment, just speak to my heart. In Jesus' name. Amen? Come on, everybody say a new season. Come on, everybody say a new season. Come on. Turn to Psalms 40 with me, please. Turn to Psalms 40. I'm going to start in Acts 1 myself. I just want you to hear this as I go over this incredible story of how Jesus Christ kind of ascended and just trying to put yourself in the disciples' shoes and just trying to figure this thing out. And I just want to read. I want you to see it. You turn to Psalms 40. I'm in Acts 1, and this is what it says. This is Jesus speaking here. He says, John baptized you with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit not that many days from now. And when he had come together, they were asking him, saying, Lord, is it at this time that you're restoring the kingdom of Israel? You know, there's a point that they still just didn't get it. Okay, we got the miracles. Man, that whole dead, buried, and resurrection and came alive. And we just, that rearranged their thinking. Yes, you are the Christ. Yes, you are the Messiah. Yes, you are the Son of God. We get it now. We understand that. Man, you're alive. You've been raised from the dead. You're just, and they were just in this place where they understood him to be the Messiah. They understood him to be the Son of God, the anointed one. They got that he was from heaven. They understood all that. But they just quite didn't understand when he was going to reign as king. Now listen, he's called King Eternal, King of all kings. He's always been king. He's always reigned. He's Jesus Christ, who is God in the flesh for you and I. He is king. He's always been king. But there is a time that he comes and he reigns here on the earth and he sits at a throne over Jerusalem and he is the king forever here. And the disciples are like, is that now? Can you just go take over now? And here's Jesus' response. He says, listen, he said to them, it is not for you to know the times or the epochs which the Father has fixed by his own authority. So this is why you don't hear me play games with any predictions. You don't hear me play games on when Jesus is going to return. This is what I believe biblically. I believe that Jesus could return today. And I believe Jesus could return not in my lifetime. That's what I believe. He can come today. Amazing. awesome. Let me preach first, and then you can come. Would love that, because I got a message for you to hear. And I believe it's from the Lord. Or he could come way beyond my years, where I'm home in heaven anyways. But I know this, that whether he comes today or whether he comes not in my lifetime, my living should never change. I should be ready and willing to serve like he's coming today, and willing and willing to serve and live a pattern of the life of serving and obedience like he may not come in my lifetime. But man, there's that moment that he is going to come, and we don't play games with that because we don't know when that's going to be. Just so you know, we don't know. If anyone's predicting, turn it off, flush it down the toilet, do whatever you got to do with it, because Jesus said, nope, we don't know. Is today the day? Father knows. So we look at this, and he's saying this, and watch this, verse 8. I want you to hear this. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be my witnesses in both Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the remotest parts of the earth. I love that, because that's like us. You know, like Olean wasn't really in Jerusalem, Judea, or Samaria. Like that was like, we're the remotest parts of the earth. Like we're the dot way over here. That Jesus says, I am for them. And I'm like, yes, you are for me. And I live in this little dot called Allegheny and Olean and our surrounding region. And I love this, the remotest parts of the earth. That's us. And he says, go to them. Aren't you glad that he came to us and his word has come to us? And watch this in verse 9. After he has said these things, he was lifted up. While they were looking on, a cloud received him out of their sight. What a show this is. Like you talk about Easter, you talk about the dead burial, the resurrection, 40 days. He walked the earth. Crazy things were taking place, showing himself to over 500 people. And then this happens. Like, whoop, like they're just talking to Jesus. And hey, listen, little time from now, a couple days from now, you're going to be filled with the Spirit. He's going to come in power and might. And then you got to go in all the earth and be witnesses so all can hear. And all of a sudden, whoop, you see his belt and then you see his shoes. And there's just like his sandals. And he's just like, John's going, are you Peter? Are you watching this? And John's going, of course I'm watching this. They're just like, and all the disciples are just standing there going, and then, you know, maybe he didn't have sandals on. They're like, dude, he's got holes in his feet. That's gross. What is that about? Look at that, from the nails in his feet. And just, the Bible says that they were gazing into the heavens and watching Jesus just, they're just like, what is happening right now? And then the Bible says, all of a sudden, there was two men that appeared in white. Like they weren't just there a second. They just weren't there. And then all of a sudden, boop, there's these two angels going, hey, guys, what are you looking at? You missed it. Jesus just, whoop, he just left us. And he just floated up. And it's just, what are you? He said, why are you looking into the sky? I mean, you ever read scripture and you're like, seriously, angel? Like, you got to ask that? Like, you knew Jesus, like, maybe he passed you on your way down. I don't know, right? I mean, like, whoop, Jesus gave the angelic high five. Like, go get them, boys. Scare them, man. Like, they're staring at me. They don't even know you're present. Like, whoop, gives the high five. And the angel's like, oh, watch this. Jesus, just look down just for a moment. Watch this. Boop. They're like, hey, what are you looking at? Well, in the same way he left is going to be how he returns. So what happened with the disciples after this? Those who were filled with fear, those who were just the simplest of simple, and a bunch of fishermen, those who were looked on as cowards, those who turned their back on their Lord, the ones who said, we'll be with you forever, boop, never mind. Now all of a sudden you see their pattern through Acts, and you see their pattern through the scriptures. You see where those who were filled with fear now became fearless. Those who are cowards were now filled with such great courage. Those, and you understand their boldness, and you understand their confidence, and you understand that life is not going to be the same. Why? Because they were entering into a new season. It wasn't the season of being fearful. It wasn't the season of being a coward. It wasn't the season of being ashamed. It was the season of stepping up. It was the season of being bold. It was the season of being courageous. It was a season where in the midst of all kind of crazy and chaos, they had this sense of peace about them. In the midst of hurt and pain, they had this sense of joy about them. Please hear this. Today, we're going to get into this, but it's not a message to say, listen, when you leave this place, a new season's coming, and everything's just going to peaches and cream for you, man. Lollipops and gumdrops for the rest of your days. Well, if you actually read in Scripture, then you know that that's not true, because the disciples, they were thrown in jail, and they were to the point of actual death, martyred, but yet they were in a new season, and everything changed for them because they were bold, they were confident, they were courageous, they were fearless, and they went for it, and they went for it hard in Jesus' name, because there is this confidence in who they knew Jesus to be. I look at this and I just think, man, I think we can go into a new season, and let's pick it up. And I'm just reading Psalms, and I love them. And I look at Psalms 40 and it says this. Look at me. I mean, watch this. Look what we're saying here. Watch this. It says this. I waited patiently for the Lord. This is David, and it's his psalm. And he says this. I waited patiently for the Lord, and he inclined to me and heard my cry. I mean, you could park on this and say, listen, I waited patiently for the Lord. Like, when you really get to the depths of my timing isn't his timing. His timing certainly isn't my timing. And you come to this place to realize what it is to wait patiently. Listen, listen, waiting doesn't mean on the couch with a remote. That's not waiting. The word wait actually means active participation. I'm actively participating. I am serving him. I'm walking in obedience. But I have dropped some things on him. I'm asking some things to him. And I'm waiting patiently for the Lord's answer. Now watch this. This is amazing. The second part of verse 1. And he inclined. Well, what does this mean? He inclined to me and he heard my cry. Well, the word inclined is an amazing biblical word. It means that he leaned in or he bowed down. Could you imagine this picture of the creator of the universe, all powerful, all knowing, everywhere at once, God, when we begin to cry out to him, we get this picture of the creator of the universe leaning in. You ever talk to somebody and they can't really hear real well, and you're talking and they have to lean in to just actually hear what you're saying? That's not this. It carries weight to the sense of he leans in and he bows down because, watch this, because he's interested in what I have to say. You ever in that conversation and then all of a sudden you hit that point and you know that whoever I'm having this conversation with, they lean in not because they can't hear, they lean in because you've got them now. They've leaned into you and say, listen, I want to hear the rest of the story. You've got me engaged in this story, and now I'm in the story. Now, what same thing with this word inclined. When you get this, you understand. Listen, David is crying out to the Lord, and he's asking the Lord, and he's waiting patiently for the Lord. But he knows, this is what he knows, as long as I have to wait, I know that, God, I have got your attention. What happens? What happens when you realize God notices me? God, he notices me. And when I cry out to him, he inclines his ear, he leans in, because I've got his attention. David tells us the place that he was in a very destructive, bad place. He says, he brought me up out of the pit of destruction and out of the miry clay. That's talking about salvation. For you and I, man, he's brought us out of that pit of darkness and transported us into the kingdom of his beloved son. And there is a salvation story. And then watch this, verse 2. The end of verse 2, it says this. He set my feet upon the rock. Watch this. He set my feet upon a rock, making my footsteps firm. You talk about a new season. You talk about, I am done with trying to walk on sand, and I'm done with the wibble wobble, and I'm done with the one step in and the one step out, and I'm done. And listen, when you understand what it is to be built on a firm foundation, where then you can come to a place, say, listen, I'm no longer going to be wishy-washy. I'm no longer going to walk in doubt. I'm walking into a new season, and in that new season, I will be steadfast, and in that new season, I will be immovable, and in that new season, I will set my feet on the rock, and it cannot break, because it is the solid foundation. And you come to this place, say, listen, my heart will not be moved. Watch this. Psalm 127 says this. Is it 127? Psalm 125, verse 1. Those who trust in the Lord as of Mount Zion, which cannot be moved, but abides forever. Those who trust in the Lord. I love this. It just screams about my confidence is in him. Listen, I love this. Watch this. They cannot be moved. Church, what happens when you understand there is a consistency, there is a consistency that we need in our follow through to say, listen, if I'm going in to a new season, God, I want to walk on solid ground. God, I want to walk where I am stable in my steps. Well, I will not be moved. It takes a consistency in your relationships. It takes a consistency in your marriage. It takes a consistency in your local church, whatever church you choose. It makes a consistency. Listen, I want to be in the house of God. I want to be in worship. I want my family in worship. I want my kids in church. And there is this consistency that takes place that I will not be moved. It's Sunday and we're going to church. And we understand what that looks like in consistency. Psalm 112 verse 7 says this. I love this. He will not fear. I love this because this screams of ones whose mindset has been changed and your outlook has been changed and your attitude has been changed. When you go into a new season, attitudes need to change and outlook needs to change. And you look at the disciples and you understand that, listen, we are not going to walk in fear of bad things happening. Listen, they were beat, they were in jail, and they sang hymns. What? They didn't have a fear of bad things taking place. Well, I love this. I will not fear evil tidings. That means bad news. I am not going to walk in fear of the doctor's report. I'm not going to walk in fear of the financial report. I'm not going to walk in fear. We could go down a whole line, a whole list. And say, listen, I am not going to walk in fear of evil. Why? Because my heart is steadfast, trusting in the Lord. Can I ask you this? Is your heart steadfast no matter what news you get, no matter what the doctor report says, no matter what's taking place in your financial world? Can you honestly say that my heart is, I'm going in to a new season and my heart is going to be steadfast? I am not going to fear bad news or evil. Why can I say that? Because my heart is steadfast in what? Trusting in the Lord. Now watch this, watch this. Look at verse 3. Here it is. This is so good. This is so good. When you understand what it means to be unshakable, when you understand what it means to really say, God, I've cried out to you and I've got your attention. And you took my feet and you set me on solid ground where it's stable and it's unshakable and it's unchanging. And you come to this place right here. I will love this. For he put a new song in my mouth. So I'm going over the ascension of the Lord, and then I land on Psalms 40. And I love what a new song means. All through Psalms, you'll see a new song, a new song, a new song. And it just simply means a fresh praise. How many of us could use a fresh praise? And you've heard me say it for the last 2 months, man. I want our praise and I want our worship. I want your individual praise and your individual worship on Monday, on Tuesday, and Wednesday, and Thursday, and Friday, Saturday, and then Sunday, and then our corporate worship on Sunday. I want it to be real. I want it to be authentic. I want their truth to be behind our worship and our praise. Man, it needs to be something that is so deep within us. But because we could just come in and sing our songs, it could be just be the same old thing. Oh, let's sing our songs. Man, let's get up on Monday morning and just say time of thanksgiving and move on to breakfast. It can just become the next thing. It can just become the next thing. Let's just do it again. Because I think sometimes, even as David was saying here, listen, I need to give you a fresh song. I need to give you a fresh praise. Something that's deep and something that's real and something that's authentic. And watch what he says here. Watch. A song of praise to our God. And the word praise here is tehillah, and it means a song of thanksgiving. What happens when you say, I'm walking into a new season? Man, I could use a new season. I'm walking into a new season. Well, you can't go into that new season grouchy. You can't go into that new season complaining. You can't go into that new season. Everything is just wrong in life, and you just begin to highlight all that's wrong in life. You ever get to that place where all you're doing is highlight the negative? All you do is highlight the complaining? All you do is talk about everybody else at work. But what happens if you get a fresh praise? And what happens if you sing a proper song of thanksgiving to the Lord? Say, no, that is not coming in to my Monday. That no, that depression is not coming in to my Monday. No, man, I'm walking in to a new season, man. Joy shall come in the presence of the Lord. Man, I walk in a place of there might be chaos all around me, but man, there's going to be this spirit of peace that is within me that I will be able to see clearly. I'll be able to lift my eyes up and see what I need to see because I'm going in to a new season. Man, I need the filling. The Bible says to be filled with the Holy Spirit. And in Ephesians 5, it says to be being kept filled. It's again and again. I am recognizing that the Holy Spirit reigns and dwells within me forever. But there are these moments that I may lose sight. He doesn't lose sight, but I may lose sight that I am to walk in His power. I'm to walk in His might. I'm to walk, in a sense, to be filled with love and joy and peace and patience and kindness and goodness and gentleness and faithfulness and self-control. And that's what I'm taking into my Monday. Because I'm walking into a new season. Come on, give him praise, church. Yes. Amen. So what happens when you realize what it is to have a fresh praise, to really sing a new song? And what happens when that song is a song of thanksgiving? And please know, man, David is writing this, and David lived a life that was just a mess. He lived a life where the king of the nation was after him, one man, and his whole army after one dude because of jealousy and envy. Then he really screwed up the whole Bathsheba and taking out Uriah thing. That was a total mess. Life wasn't going so good. He repented and he turned, but there were certainly consequences to that. So I look at Dave in this, and he's like, you've taken me out of the miry clay. And regardless, please hear this, church, regardless of my stupid and my sin and my wrong, and we repent and we turn, in the midst of all that, you put my feet on the rock, and I will not be shaken. And in that, I just want to give you a fresh praise. And in that, I want a new start. I could use a new season. I could use a new song in my mouth. I'd love to come back to that place again to give you songs of thanksgiving. I need to go into a new season. And I give you my praise and my song of thanksgiving. I love this, is what it says. And we will trust. It's amazing how many times we see this morning what it is to trust in the Lord. How blessed, verse 4, now watch this, how blessed is the man who has made the Lord his trust and has not turned to the proud nor to those who lapse in a falsehood. Can't get away from it in Scripture. The Bible says you better be very careful who you hang out with. You cannot escape that. New Testament, Old Testament, Old Testament, New Testament. Can't escape it. What happens if you put your trust, and the word trust here means who you rely on or who you put your confidence in, is one of falsehood. The one who sold you a bill of goods. And I love what he says here. Watch this. If I'm going into a new season, the Bible says, how blessed is the man who's made the Lord his trust. And I ask you a serious question, if we're really serious about what it looks like to go into a new season, to be able to sing a fresh praise, to know that my songs will be filled with songs of thanksgiving, and then this thing begins to change in your spirit, and you feel, you ever get that place where you begin to feel a turnaround's coming? You begin to feel, man, my spirit is being strengthened, not so much my outside, but my inside is becoming strong again. My inside is making this turn where I can come to this place that I know, man, I'm coming in to a new season. Have you ever been in that place where it's not the outward appearance, but something's taking place in your spirit? Something's taking place in your inner man. Something takes place in your heart where there is this trust or this confidence. You say, no matter what, I'm not going to fear evil tidings. I'm not going to worry about bad news. Why? Because my confidence is in Him. I'm going to ask you a serious question now. Let's break it down. Where has your confidence been? Has it been in a thing? Has it been in a person? Where and in whom have you really, if you really are honest, do I put my confidence in my job, or do I believe God is my provider? Do I put my confidence in the doctor's report, or do I say God is my healer? In what report have you put your trust in? Or watch this, in whom have you put your trust in? Have you put your full confidence in your wife? Have you put your full confidence in your husband? Have that been your crutch? Is that who you've relied on and depended on? Have you put all your confidence in your local church? Have you put all of your confidence in your pastor? Man, I hope not. All of the above have failed. All the above get it wrong. What if you're in a place where David is, in an absolute crazy place, and you say, listen, blessed is the man. I'm not going to rely on what man says. I'm not going to rely on false reports. I'm not going to rely on lies. I'm not going to rely just on the local church, as important as that is. I'm not going to just rely and put my confidence in the pastor, as handsome and good looking that he is. He misses. I'm not going to put all of my confidence in my wife. I'm not going to put all my confidence in my husband. Although important and fine, you need trust, you need confidence, no question. But I think there's a miss here. I think there's a miss because I think we rely so much on times, on people. And rely so much on current events. We rely so much on our job. We rely so much. And we rely and we depend upon it. And then all of a sudden there's this switch that takes place that our confidence becomes in person, places, and things, and not in God our provider, God our healer, God who is everywhere all at once, God of all power, might, who is supreme. That man blessed is the man who puts his confidence in Him. So real deal moment right now, real deal moment. Where have you put your confidence? In whom have you put your trust in? Be real careful. Be real careful. And then we'll close with this. This is great. Church, I want you to love the Word of God. I don't want you to take my word for it. I'm not going to lie to you. I want you to trust me in a sense of His Word. I want you to see Him. I want you diving into the Word of God. I want you hungry for the Word. Because I love this. Look at this. Watch this. What's it look like when you come to this place and say, I'm going into a new season? There's something stirring in me. There's something in my spirit that's just taking me to a new place. And it's moments like this, and it's a verse like this that should just take you to a place to know God is for me. God is towards me. God is towards me. And God is for me. And I love Psalms 40, verse 5. It says this: many, O Lord, my God, are the wonders which you have done. You ever just stop and just think and be in awe, whether you see His creation, whether you're on the mountaintop or you see snow in April, whether you see, you know, the oceans and what's under the oceans, and you just think about His amazing grace for you, and in midst of all that He is and who He is to us, that you just stop and you're in awe and you're at wonder at how great He is and how amazing He is. And his love for me. And I just stop and I think and I wonder and I'm in awe. And David drops this on us. Watch this. You see, what's he really in wonder about here? Well, what stops him in his tracks? And he says, I'm just in awe of the Lord. Watch this, is what it says. Many, O Lord, my God, are the wonders which you have done and your thoughts towards us. For there is none to compare with you. For if I would declare and speak of them, they would be too numerous to count. Oh, you mean the God of all power and might, he actually thinks about me? The Bible says his thoughts towards me are more numerous than the sand. Psalm 139. By the same writer. David was amazed. And he was in this place of wonder. How much you actually think about me. Your thoughts towards me. There's so many. I can't count. They're like the sands of the sea. Listen, if you're a parent in this place, just today, since you woke up, how much have you actually thought about your children? Pretty continual. It's pretty again and again and again. But when you break this down and say, no, man, God is towards me. And his word proves that he's for me. And I want to go into a new season. Knowing that my God, who is my Father, because I believed in his Son Jesus and have come to this place to be adopted, I understand the work of the cross, that he loves me, that Jesus died for me, and in that I know that I belong to him. And he thinks about me. Like, man, you gotta get real on this. You gotta come to a place to say, who am I, honestly, who am I, that he actually thinks about me? And he thinks about me so much that I can't even fathom how much. I can't even count how much the created universe thinks about me, that I truly am the apple of his eye, and I truly am his hand craftsmanship, that he put me together the exact way that he wanted me together, and I am his and I belong to him, and he has thoughts towards me. Why? Because he is towards me. My God is for me. The Bible says, when God is for you, who can be against you? Come on, bow your heads, man. Let's close this up. It's a place to. So, what has God spoke to you today? Let me ask you, man, where are you? This 30-minute message, man, this short journey we've taken. Where are you in this today? Say, come on, Sean, I could use a new start. I could use a truly, I could go into a place where I need a fresh praise. I need to go. I'm looking forward to a new season. Man, there's things just stirring in my spirit, and I know that, man, there's a turn that's coming. I'm about to turn the corner. I'm about to get rid of this depression. I'm about to get rid of this anger. I'm about to get rid of this attitude. I'm about to get rid of this complaining. There's a new season coming. Man, there's a fresh season. There's a fresh start coming. There's a fresh song of praise that's going to be this song of thanksgiving. Why? Because my God is towards me, and he is for me, and he thinks about me. And I've come to this place to say, I need a new season. And all heads are bowed. If you're in this place, say, Sean, I need a new season. Raise your hand, please. Put them up high, man. Put them up high. Say, it's time for a new season. It's time for a fresh song of praise. Father, I just pray over every one of us, God. God, we all could use that new season, that fresh praise. God, I don't want it to be just the same. God, I want your spirit to move as we walk in the fullness of your spirit. God, that we would see a new season come. God, we would see, just like took place in the disciples, we will be fearless, we will be bold, we will be courageous. God, we will love. God, we will not worry about the things that are going to come against us. God, we will still be strong. We will still be towards you. We will be forward, God. God, and we will not take a step back. We will charge, God, and we will move in a sense what it is to be bold. God, I want a new season. God, I want a new season, God. Oh, Father, by your Spirit, we would walk in the fullness of who you are today. And I ask in Jesus' name, where there was once depression, God, there will be joy. God, once there was chaos and confusion, God, there will be peace. God, when there is that sense of anger, there'll be gentleness. And God, when there's that sense of complaining, there'll be thanksgiving. Father, we're asking you that we would walk into a new season. Our songs to you would be fresh. That we would offer you not the same old, but God, it'll be a fresh praise. A renewed praise. In Jesus' name. Come on.